You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next, it's Fight the Empire. Parafagering connects history of the European conquest of America to the latest world events. At 10 on Sprouts, Lucas talks with LGBTQ advocate and U.S. diplomat Bruce Knotts about LGBTQ refugees and asylum seekers. At 10:30, it's Express Yourself with host Jai, featuring talented spoken word artists, rappers, poets, and singers from around the Portland metropolitan area. And 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews the iconic Zadie Smith about her new work, Grand Union, a varied collection of new stories that shows off her range between realism, dystopia, satire, and the post-apocalyptic. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. And if you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
Well, good morning. This is Parafagering, and the show is Fight the Empire. And I was thinking, if Bill Gates were to walk into KBOO, the average wealth of everyone else in this building would go up by many million dollars. It's too bad you can't take those kind of numbers to the bank, but they seem to work for a lot of economists and business leaders. At last count, there were 607 billionaires in the United States. Just think of that, 607 billionaires. And I wonder, is anyone counting all the tents in the streets? I kind of wonder. They try, but they keep new ones keep popping up all the time. The stock market keeps rising, and there are several reasons for that. One is for the rich investors. It's one of the only things worth investing in. And it's sort of a measure of the hopes and dreams of investors, but it doesn't really measure the real economy. Another thing, reason for the stock market rising is that you have this kind of trading done by I guess by some kind of algorithm or artificial intelligence, which is super fast. And it just kind of responds to any little uptick in the economic picture. And it sort of, it makes an investment just a split second sooner than another investment. And it kind of, it's like a little bit of an edge. I'm not sure, that's the way I've heard it described, but the stock market keeps going while, for most people, the economy is not in very good shape. People are going bankrupt because of high medical bills. We have the student debt, which is crushing all kinds of aspirations of young people everywhere. We have trillions of dollars are going for war, and human services are just scraping by. So that's a portrait of America as this impeachment process continues. Well, one thing that strikes me about the impeachment thing is that is a narrow focus. It is basically the charge against President Trump is that he wanted the president of Ukraine, Zelensky, to I guess it has to, it's a very, did he, there's a quid pro quo going on. They keep talking about the quid pro quo, and Ukraine would investigate the Bidens, Joe Biden and his son Hunter Biden, and that by investigating Joe Biden, this would help Trump in his reelection bid, because Biden is one of the opponents who are most frequently talked about, and so the politicians of both parties, both sides in this issue, they're trying to define this quid pro quo as is it a request? Is it an extortion? Is it blackmail? What is it? In other words, it's some kind of a thing that Ukraine could do that would presumably benefit President President Trump. And so that is a very narrow focus. And you wonder, well, okay, when you look at the Hunter Biden, the issue that's talked about the most is that he got a seat on the board of this Burisma energy company in Ukraine, and he gets paid $50,000 a month just to sit on this board. Well, gee whiz, if I think of that, if I was on the board, I used to be on the board at KABU one time. Boy, if you get $50,000 a month for just going to a little meeting, you know, wow, that's good money, you know. That's sort of a soft job there. And what is the reason that Burisma would be doing this? Why would they pay Hunter Biden $50,000 a month just to go to a board meeting, which he doesn't have to be in Ukraine to do? I guess he could do it from where he happens to be in the States. And well, it's pretty obvious that Burisma is hoping to influence the Bidens, Joe Biden in particular, and this is their way of doing it. Well, it seems to me this should be investigated by somebody. Doesn't have to be by Ukraine. Somebody reliable, you know, who's sort of above board, should be investigating this, because on the face of it, it looks like a real crooked situation. But let's just stipulate that what President Trump did was wrong. He was using this as a, you know, for personal gain and not for the purpose of finding out the truth. So there's a big difference there. But so these hearings are focusing on the defining what quid pro quo means. And another thing that struck me was sort of and this is sort of both sides in this, Democrats and Republicans, they're really kind of pumped up with patriotism and Americanism. And you keep hearing the phrase, thank you for your service, an awful lot. Every witness testifying has been thanked for their service, as if it's kind of like as if diplomats are soldiers. And well, when you think about it, perhaps they are soldiers. They don't wear uniforms. They wear their corporate uniforms, but they are like soldiers. They are serving the empire in their capacity. And one thing that struck me was, I think it was yesterday, one of the witnesses was a woman named Laura Cooper, who works for the Defense Department, which is a misnomer. It's a War Department, but they switched it to Defense about 50 years ago. And she talked a lot about Russian aggression. And she was saying that Russia with Ukraine is an empire. Well, Ukraine has been part of Russia for a long, long time, and it is not now. It's an independent country, but it still has dealings with Russia. Russia is Ukraine's main trading partner. The Russian language and Ukrainian language are very similar. They are kind of like they're family in a way, and the U.S. is kind of butting in on a kind of a family disagreement. And what Laura Cooper is saying, for which she's been praised as being a kind of a selfless public official, is basically a recipe for war. Russia gets mentioned a lot in this controversy, but two facts really get ignored. And I have to keep going back to them. People have probably heard me say this before, but it bears repeating because it should not be forgotten. The Russian aggression, the Russian so-called interference in our 2016 election, a lot of it had to do with material that was came from the Democratic National Committee that was published by WikiLeaks. And the official story is that the Russians hacked into this the DNC web server or computer, and they passed the information on to WikiLeaks, for which Julian Assange is now in a British prison facing extradition to the U.S. And but there's a man named William Binney who was with the NSA for 30 years. He was their technical director. And he says, and he gives evidence, that the DNC material was leaked by someone inside. It was not hacked. It was leaked. And the evidence he gives is based on the time sequence, basically that the material to be hacked would have taken much more time than it actually did take. Also, it has to do with somehow from the signatures on these on this material, you can tell where it happened, where the leak or whatever happened. And from that information, Binney concludes that the DNC material was leaked by someone inside, probably stuck a thumb drive into the DNC computers and then passed the information on. Well, as far as I know, William Binney, who is a expert witness, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong, but he gives evidence. He has not been refuted. He has not been contradicted. He has been ignored, as if he never said what he said. And to me, this is really flagrantly dishonest. And so all these people that you hear on NPR, who including reporters, who talk as if it's a settled conclusion that the DNC, that the Russians hacked into the DNC servers, they are being dishonest. They are ignoring, maybe they don't even know about it. Who knows? I mean, they're supposed to be reporters. They should know about what Binney said. But they are being dishonest because they are not dealing with a reasonable question that has been raised. So that is the that's why I keep bringing this up, because people forget it. They keep hearing people on NPR saying that this DNC was hacked by the Russians. Well, maybe yes, maybe no, but a very reputable expert says no. Another thing that gets ignored is in Ukraine back in 2014. We talk about Ukrainian democracy and, you know, their relations with Russia. An elected president, Viktor Yanukovych, was overthrown by street mobs in Kiev. And he was sent, he kind of fled for his life to Russia. Well, he's commonly described as being corrupt, which may very well be true. But he was elected, and the election is no one has shown that it was a false election. It was a pretty honest election, and he was there as a result of that election. But this Russian interference thing gets repeated over and over and over. Now, one thing about Yanukovych, he represented his party, is called the Party of Regions, and his main support was from eastern Ukraine. And by him being overthrown, now Ukraine is a very divided country. If you look at a map, you'll see that eastern and southern part are populated by Russian-speaking people. They consider themselves Russians. They happen to be in Ukraine, where the western part of Ukraine, they look more towards Poland and Europe and Lithuania for their kind of their relationships. And so you wonder, how did Ukraine get to be a nation like that? Well, for most of its history, Ukraine was not a nation. It was part of some larger entity. It was at one time back in the 1600s, it was part of a Polish-Lithuanian empire. Then it became part of Russia. And as far as I know, it did not get settled borders until 1921, when the Bolsheviks took over. Anyway, this DNC material, which was leaked and not hacked, one thing that people don't realize is that the material was true. It was information that people have a right to know. It had to do with the DNC sabotaging Bernie Sanders' campaign, and it also had to do with Hillary Clinton's private speeches he made to Wall Street investors. Well, this is something that should not be secret. This is something that we should be knowing about. But the pundits and they focus on who does it benefit and who does it hurt, and they talk about Putin sowing discord as though he is somehow weaponizing truth. The other part of the Russian interference story does have some basis in fact, and that is this whole question of Russian use of social media. Well, so many people use social media, putting ads and all sorts of stories on Facebook and other social media entities. I guess it's very easy to do, very easy to keep the source of the of your entry hidden, and so apparently Russia was doing this, and they were supposedly using stories, real stories, fake stories, whatever, and they were sowing discord. Well, you could argue about that. It's their budget for sowing discord was very, very small compared to the budget that major corporations spend on Facebook and all the other social media. So this is what is considered marketing. You have an idea, you have a story you want to tell, and you put it on social media, and that is how marketing, a lot of marketing these days is done. So apparently the Russians were very good at it when you consider what is claimed to be the result, and they did it for a small amount of money compared to what other corporations do spend on the social media. Anyway, if people want to call in, the number is 503-231-8187. And we got Bruce on the line. Good morning, Bruce.
Morning, Pierre.
Yes, how you doing?
Good. To me, watching the hearings and hearing what you're saying as well, is the thing that I think is complicated is you got to get rid of a guy but you can't do it and give up just how corrupt this government is.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to get rid of Trump, that's fine. But now you got to dig into the weeds and see just how dirty this whole system is. And so you have to blame Putin. And you have to keep moving it away from what's really going on and how he really got there without sabotaging what you the system you want to maintain in place.
Well, I think part of the thing is that Donald Trump was put in the White House according to our political system. And you know, there's really no way of getting around that. I mean, he didn't get as many votes as Hillary Clinton, but you don't need as many votes in our system. You need the votes in the Electoral College. So he was put in the White House by our system, and which definitely needs fixing. It's pretty obvious. Even before Trump was elected, it's obvious our system needed fixing.
And I don't think there's any way that a Democrat who would win, if Hillary had won, she'd have said, well, wait a minute, no, I can't accept this because, you know, he actually got more votes than me. This is the system we have. We have what we have. Now you have to deal with it. But they don't want to, and they're this constant calling out of conspiracy theories. Hey, who knows what's true and what's not?
Well, we do our best.
Well, thank you for what you do, and it's a great show, and I don't know how it's all going to work out, but it just the blaming of the Russians just gets so tiresome.
Well, my worry is what happens when and if Trump is removed. Who will replace him, and you know where it will lead to? I'm afraid it might lead to some kind of inadvertently to a war with Russia. That's my big concern.
And as you've had Stephen Cohen on, that's the concern there.
I was just reading, in fact, they may talk about it. He had a very interesting interview with Aaron Maté about this whole thing. And one thing he brings out is that this President Zelensky of Ukraine was elected as a peace candidate. Kind of like a Ukrainian McGovern, George McGovern. And his whole thing was to work out some kind of peace agreement with the Russians. Well, that's been sidetracked because of this whole Ukraine-gate thing or whatever. So that's my fear. And anyway, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Well, the number to call is 503-231-8187. Let me talk a little bit about this interview with Aaron Maté by Stephen Cohen. Stephen Cohen is a professor emeritus of history, Russian history, from at Princeton University and New York University. And he is an expert on the Soviet Union and Russia, speaks Russian fluently. He is sort of like a voice in the wilderness because so many Russian experts are working for in one way or another, they're working for the empire, and they take this imperial attitude. But Cohen is very different, and so he has been writing books about Russia. In fact, one of his books is called War with Russia? And that is his fear. And he is saying that Zelensky ran as a peace candidate, and that was his mandate, was to negotiate with Putin and the Russians and reach some kind of agreement. And, basically, Zelensky has been sidetracked in this. And it's one thing that he says that Trump could do, if he would ever do it, is basically to support Zelensky in his peace moves. You know, Trump talks about having good relations with Russia, but he's so on and off and distracted that it's hard to see what he could do. But what Zelensky needs is for the United States to, and this is a quote, it requires the United States basically simply saying to Zelensky, quote, go for it, we've got your back. And that would be an enormous help, you know, to deal with kind of dispute between Russia and Ukraine. A lot of that happened because Ukraine, back in, I think it's 2013 or so, Ukraine was in, their economy was in a mess, and they were looking at to be bailed out by the European Union. Well, the European Union offered some kind of a deal that will give them a loan and also require a lot of austerity, pension cuts and whatever. Well, Ukraine is their standard of living is so poor already, and that this is when Yanukovych was president, and this is a deal that European Union offered him. Well, then along came Russia and offered a better deal. They offered a lot more money as an investment, and they also offered a discount on the natural gas that they sell to Ukraine. And so Yanukovych went for the Russian deal because it was a better deal. And that is when these street riots started. And that is the reason for them. And it's this is and to wrap up this show, I'd like to talk about one little very interesting thing came out, was that you know, we hear a lot about, in fact, even some people on here at KBOO talk about, they're really worried about Trump being a proto-fascist, which you can make a good case for that. You know, Trump leading towards some kind of fascism. But you also have the CIA promoting fascists all around the world. And in Ukraine, we have an example of it coming back to bite us at home. In Ukraine, you had this sort of it used to be a kind of a neo-Nazi militia called the Azov Battalion. And they used all kinds of sort of Nazi-type insignia and everything. And it was an armed force. And then they were incorporated into the Ukrainian army. Well, they are still a fascist. They were a fascist component of the Ukrainian army. And here at home, you have a movement called the Rise Above Movement, RAM for short. And they were part of the neo-Nazi crowd that was in Charlottesville, Virginia, a few years back. Well, they were inspired by, leaders of that of the Rise Above Movement went to Ukraine, and they actually got training from the Azov Battalion people, and then they came back to the United States to share the results of their training. And they were arrested for rioting in Charlottesville, and some of them were convicted. They're serving a little prison time right now. So here you have a case where the U.S., and by that I mean the foreign policy establishment, the Pentagon, the CIA, the so-called deep state, which I call the deeper state, and they supported the Ukrainian Azov Battalion, and they used the Azov Battalion sort of repaid them by supporting homegrown fascists right here in the United States. So that's it for Fight the Empire, and have a good day, and stay tuned to KBOO, your radio station.
KBOO is getting ready for our annual book and record sale.
This is a great time to clean out those closets and shelves and turn your old books, records, and CDs into cash for community radio.
Bring them to KBOO Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. till 7 p.m.
We are accepting donations of books, vinyl records, CDs, and DVDs through Saturday, December 14th. The sale will be held on December 21st. Stay tuned for details.
Your unwanted books, records, and DVDs are treasure to someone else. Help them find new homes while raising money for our community radio station, KBOO.
If you have questions or want to arrange for a pickup of donations, please email volunteer@kboo.org or call 503-231-8255. 0032, extension 213.
Coming up this morning on KBOO Next, it's Sprouts. Lucas talks with LGBTQ advocate and U.S. diplomat Bruce Knotts about LGBTQ refugees and asylum seekers. At 10:30, it's Express Yourself, where host Jai features talented spoken word artists, rappers, poets, and singers from around the Portland metropolitan area. 11 on Between the Covers, David Naiman interviews the iconic Zadie Smith about her new work, Grand Union, a varied collection of new stories that shows off her range between realism, dystopia, satire, and post-apocalyptic America. All of these KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
Say Ugandans in a refugee camp in Kenya. In Kenya, there are a lot of Ugandans there for a number of reasons. And if people are known to be LGBT, and some people can't really hide their sexual orientation or gender identity, they're beaten up, they're stabbed, they're not given the same food that other people get, they're persecuted. My feeling is that some people get the help they need, most people don't.
Welcome to Sprouts from Pacifica, radio from the grassroots. A weekly program that showcases radio productions by independent community media. We bring local stories to a national audience, produced by a different local station or independent producer each week. This week, we present Outcasting, Public Radio's LGBTQ youth program. Outcasting is a listener-supported production of Media for the Public Good in New York. Online at outcastingmedia.org. Hi, I'm Gabe. On this edition of Outcasting,